Welcome to the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas podcast series. Please enjoy this message by our own senior pastor, Tavares Gardner.
Now, I know we can be rejected by our father, rejected by our mother, rejected by peers, rejected by church folks, but I never even thought about, as I've been teaching on this series, that we can be rejected by God. Story in the Bible, I'm going to teach from Hosea 4 and 6. If you got it, turn there real quickly. I was reading this scripture last night, and I'm like, this thing is deep. To be rejected by God. I know we always say God is a loving God, and God, you know, he loves everybody. Yes, and that is true. But also God, there are certain things that God cannot tolerate. There are certain lifestyle that God cannot tolerate with his loving self. I know these little pretty churches are telling y'all, you know, God is love. God is love. But you also forget that God is a jealous God. And that God also is a God of vengeance. Yes, amen. Well, I ain't gonna get no amen. Will you clap your hands and listen? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. All right. Stacy, I might need some help today because it seems like the people are gonna be a little uptight today. Hosea 4. We'll start at verse 1. This is Hosea, a prophet, talking to the people of Israel. He said, hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you. What has the Lord brought? He said, saying, there is no faithfulness. There is no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. What was that last one? There's no what? Of God in the land. You make vows and you break them. He said, y'all be lying. You say one thing and then you do another. You kill, steal, and commit adultery. What are they doing? Killing, stealing. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. That is why your land is mourning. And everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea are disappearing. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He said, verse 4, don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame. See, we got a habit of always what somebody ain't and what somebody didn't do and da-da-da-da-da. But touch your neighbor, said them same fingers that's pointing, that one that's pointing at, come on, you got some other ones pointing back at you. It's always easy to pass blame. He said, don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass blame. He said, my complaints, you priests, you preachers, you prophets, you apostles, you evangelists, come on here, you teachers and preachers, is with you. God said, I got a problem with you, priest. You will stumble in broad daylight, and so will your false prophets. He said, I'm going to destroy Israel, your mother. Here we go. Verse 6, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Or your Bible say, lack of knowledge. He said, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as my priest. So it sounds like the people were in dysfunction because the preachers were out of order. That's what it seemed like. Isn't that what y'all read? He said, my problem is with you priests. And he said, and my people are being destroyed because you preachers are not teaching the people about me. He said, my people are being destroyed. So there's a spirit of destruction that's coming in because of a rejection of knowledge of God. All right. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because the King James says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Did you hear what God said? He said, when you reject knowledge about me, I'll reject you. I'll spew you out of my mouth. So, again, as I said Wednesday night, we always talk about God is love and that he forgives us no matter what we've done. And this is true. But I must say, sometimes we forget that God is holy. And as I said Wednesday night, God is holy and he has standards. What does God have? What is God? Holy. And he has what? He is what? Holy. And he has what? Come on, say it with me. It ain't no cuss word. God is what?
Holy.
And he has what? Say it one more time. Make sure you got it in your spirit. God is what?
Holy.
And he has what? And so as people of God, we should want to remain in a place in which God, in which we are pleasing to God and not be a disdain to him. We don't want to get on a path of disobedience and rebellion. I'm glad you remember. Y'all remember the story if you went to Sunday school or if you've been in church any length of time. There was a king named Saul. And God, because Saul disobeyed God, he tried to keep the spoil when God told him to destroy all of the Amalekites. And then God ended up telling Samuel, I'm sorry that I even picked him and chose him to be king. You don't ever want to get in a position where God is very sorry that he even chose you. Touch your neighbor and say, you don't ever want to get in a position where God is even sorry that he made you. Hallelujah, sorry that because you so bad and rebellious that he just like, I have rejected you. I mean, you got to be real bad for God to reject you. How many people keep coming to church hearing the word of the Lord week in and week out and still doing what they want to do? And you think that just because you come to the house of the Lord, that exempts you, hallelujah, from hell. May I submit to you, hallelujah, that coming to church does not exempt you from hell if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a lot of folks in the church going straight to hell because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You dressed up and dancing, but I told you, you ain't nothing but a spiritual parrot, hallelujah. You just mimicking everything you see, but you don't have the life style that can make you holy.
I know.
Everything that's dancing in church ain't saved. Everything that's speaking in tongues in church, those not real tongues. Because if you got the Holy Ghost for real, the Holy Ghost will convict you of your wrong. I ain't got no help in here. Touch your neighbor said, if you got the Holy Ghost for real, I'm talking about for real. I don't know what y'all got now. I'm talking about the real Holy. It will convict you when you are wrong. It will convict you when you talk about people that you shouldn't be talking about. I can't hear about it. It will make you apologize even if you think that you're wrong. Therefore, I want you to understand that God has standards and he is holy. And everything that happens in life is not holy and acceptable to God. The Bible says, and I know, John, I said this Wednesday night, but some of you weren't here Wednesday night, so I got to hit you in your face today. John 6:37, it does say that the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast away. So we can be confident that he will never reject anyone who repents. He will never reject anyone who
repents.
I know that's a cuss word, but come on, and everybody say it. He will never reject anyone who does what? And comes to God in faith. Jesus tells us, he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. That's Matthew 11:28. So God encourages people. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't reject people based on their color, culture, or gender. God is love and would never reject anyone who comes to him in faith, love, and repentance. But there are some behaviors, as I said Wednesday night, I got to say it again. There are some behaviors and lifestyle that God cannot and will not accept. So if you choose to remain in rebellion and sin against God, I sure hate for you to die. I gave you some examples. Of course, Genesis chapter 3 when Adam. Now notice when Eve ate the fruit, nothing happened. Read your Bible. When Eve ate that fruit, nothing happened. It wasn't until Adam ate that fruit that all hell broke loose. Read your Bible. Am I right? Am I in the Bible? Come on, talk back to me. Am I in the Bible? Because God had already told Adam, the day you eat of this fruit, of this tree, ye shall surely die. And so because he became rebellious and he rejected the word of God, sin came into the earth. Because of one man's disobedience, sin entered into the earth. But on the flip side of that, because of one man's obedience, life entered into the earth. So God didn't just leave us hanging. So here we are. They got kicked out of the garden because of sin. Because they chose to reject the word of God. Now we got Cain. Cain was mad with his brother Abel because God accepted his offering. And I told you why. I taught on a message on that. You have to go find it on the podcast. All right? Because Abraham and Sarah, y'all remember this one for Wednesday night. Because they couldn't wait on God, they manufactured a promise. And every time you manufacture something that God is not in, you manufacture a hot mess. Right? So their actions, because of them trying to manufacture a promise, which produced a problem for a whole generation of people, called the Ishmaelites, which are now the Arabs. Amen. 1 Samuel, we talked about the king. King Saul was rejected. Now, he had already come from a tribe that was almost half killed. It was only a few Benjamites left because of a war that had a civil war that broke out between the children of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. Read your Bibles, you can understand that. And so God had chosen him from this tribe that was almost wiped out. All right, and so he refused to submit and disobeyed God's express command. And then he had nerve to say, well, I saved God. I saved what he told me to kill so I could bring it as an offering to him. Let me tell you something. God does not want your offering if you're still in rebellion. It means nothing to him. All right. They didn't like that either. All right. He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you. All right? Rejection. Everybody say rejecting. The knowledge of God. Rejecting the knowledge of God opens the door to destruction. Come on, let's say it one more time. Rejecting the knowledge of God opens the door to what? Being rejected by God comes as a result of a person's refusal to acknowledge to the knowledge of God. All right. My people, again, Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? Thank you. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. This verse defines, listen, this is what this verse defines. This verse defines the curse of rejection, also known as the demon or the spirit of rejection. This curse or demonic spirit is not just about being turned down or rejected by someone one day. The demon of rejection that enters as a result of the refusing the knowledge of God is about your whole life being characterized by the manifestations of this demon. Though all of us have been rejected in one way or another, is that right? However, I want you to understand, God is always open to a person with repentant and a humble heart. What is it? But if you come to him in the midst of your mess and confess that you want to know his ways, God will forgive you. All right. God will forgive. But you have to be what? Repentant. All right. However, God cannot and will not accept us when we are living in a deliberate opposition of his way. You know you're wrong and you think you're not going to get caught. Can I tell you? God has a way of pulling the sheets and the covers off of things that are hidden, especially folks in the church that know to do right and do evil. I'm not going to get no amens in here. I'm not going to get no amens. Come on. If you're not guilty, you say amen and smile. Let me tell y'all, I am too scared. I don't like getting in trouble. I never like getting in trouble. I never like getting whoopings, even though I got them. But I just rather do right and not get caught. Because getting caught is worse. I mean, I feel like the consequences are more getting caught if I just go on to tell the truth. Maybe y'all been lying, and that's why y'all. You get, what you say, get a little bit of mercy when you just go ahead and tell the truth. Can I get some witnesses in here? You just get a little bit, no more mercy if you just go ahead and tell the truth. He will reject you if you reject deliverance. His word and the leading of his spirit. We are living in a time when hardly any of us can say we have not been introduced to the knowledge of God. We are living in a time where we cannot say we have never heard of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. We are living in a time where can't nobody say that we have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6, he said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. So it is not only about a lack of exposure to the knowledge of God, it is a refusal to accept it. Did you hear that? It's not only, let me say it again, about a lack of exposure to the knowledge of God, it's your refusal to accept the knowledge of God. And through our rejection of this knowledge, check it out, we are destroyed. Now focus in on that word destroyed in this verse. The spirit of destruction comes into our lives as a result of our rejection of God and then his rejection of us. If we want to experience victory, blessings, and protection from God and even acceptance because we always have his love, it is important for us to repent and accept this truth. We need to humbly open and be submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I must be submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. Rejecting God rejecting God leads you to a reprobate mind. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient or proper. He said, you don't want me? I'll turn you over to your own mind, and whatever you think is right, that's you. Go on and do you. Like we always say, I'm just doing me. And how has doing you thus far saved you? Doing me has always jacked me up. I ain't got no help in here. Touch a neighbor, said, doing me has always jacked me up. I'm just doing me. I'll keep on doing you. So let me tell you this. Continual rejection of God and his, help me to preach, Holy Ghost, and his ways will cause your mind to be given over to a place of evil and confused rationalization that will lead you to destruction. This is what we saw happen to Saul. Saul was tormented by a devil. Is that what the Bible said? Because he disobeyed God. He opened up the door for God to release an evil spirit to torment him because He disobeyed God. So let me tell you something. Your life will never go well when you continuously disobey God. You reject his word. You come into this church and you still go out the same door. Hallelujah. The same way you came in. And you ain't even trying to change. I can't hear nobody. You still doing the same old dumb stuff. You still coming to the altar for the same old thing. And you still ain't trying to change your ways. I can't hear nobody saying, I can grease you down like a chicken. I can't hear nobody. We can prophesy you till you blue in the face. Hallelujah. And you still refuse the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woe be unto you who does not repent and change his ways. I don't know why this word is in the house today, but somebody in this house, I don't know who I'm talking to, you need to repent. Oh, I'm telling you, it will not go well for you. God is trying to warn you, give you this final warning that if you don't turn around, because here's my thing. What are you coming to church for if you don't like him? She said, say it again. Why do you keep coming to the house of the Lord if you don't intend on changing? Because my thing is, go ahead on and do your thing and stop coming to church. Stop playing if you don't want him. You wasting his time and the preacher's time and everybody that's on the altar trying to pray for you time. I don't understand it. Can y'all help me understand that? Why do you come and play like you like God and you ain't intending on changing? I'm waiting on y'all to. That's a question. What'd you say? What'd you say? She said it's a routine. It's tradition. You're religious. That's what you grew up on, coming to church, but ain't got no relationship. You just religious. That's you put that on your life checklist to go to church, but I ain't thinking about changing. I'm trying to, Deitra. Where you at? I'm trying to, because I want to make sure people get this, that this ain't no game. Let me tell y'all something. The holiness and living for God is not a game. But let me tell you something. When you give God a real yes, and I posted this last night on Facebook. When you give God a real yes, God is going to crush you. He is going to crush the very life out of you to put his life in him, in you. So the life that I now live, I don't live in the flesh, but I live through Christ. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Touch your neighbor and say, when you give God a real yes, there is a crushing. God begins to crush the very life out of you, your ideals, your ideology. I can't hear nobody say nothing. He begins to smash you. Hallelujah. He begins to crush you. I can't hear nobody say nothing until you call out, yeah. And many of you, you say yes with your mouth, but your heart is saying no because you understand, hallelujah, that I can't do what I want to do anymore when I give God a real yes, hallelujah, because my life becomes in his hands. I can't hear nobody. And the things that I want to do, I can't do because the conviction power of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, is going to mess up my thinking. So he allows afflictions to come. You think it's hard out on them streets, hallelujah, without God. Let me tell you something. When you get in God, hallelujah, it ain't no flower bed of ease either. I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, God will start to crush everything about you. He'll put you through the fire. But at least he's in the fire with you. Though you go through. Though you go through the fire. And through the flood. I ain't got no help in here.
I wish you would touch your neighbor and say, he's with me even through the fire. Touch a neighbor and said, he's an all-consuming, even when he puts me in the fire, he becomes the all-consuming fire. So I won't come out smelling like, I ain't got no help in here. Can I just park here for a moment? Can I just park here? This 40 days, and the 40 days ends on the 22nd this week. Let me tell y'all something. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Come on, son, give me a high five right there. Let me give her a high five because let me tell y'all something. It is as if God has me in vice grips. It is like I am in a squeeze, squeezing all of Tavares out. It has been uncomfortable. I've been having mood swings. Oh, I ain't gonna sit up and lie and tell y'all that it's been easy. Because what I have to understand is I told the Pastor Vincent and Pastor Baker last night and Howard, as I told them last night, I said, let me tell y'all something. The Bible says in Luke, Jesus went in full of Holy Spirit, came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. There had to be a crushing in the wilderness during those 40 days. Do y'all not know that this man, Jesus, I know y'all probably think it was pretty. Oh, he was Jesus. He was sustained in the wilderness. No. This man was going through a point of death in the wilderness because he had not eaten in 40 days. And after 10 days, your body starts cannibalizing itself. No food, no water. No, nothing. And in a hot desert, and the devil messing with him, afflicting him, while he's in the desert, mind probably going crazy because he hadn't eaten in 40 days. Body almost shutting down because he had not eaten in 40 days. Power, oh Jesus, is produced through the affliction. You want power? Then let God afflict you and crush you. I got no help in here. Touch your neighbor and say, you want power? Let God crush you and smash you and kill everything about you in the wilderness. That's how power is produced, through affliction. But most of the time we run through affliction. So your affliction may be betrayal, like you hear about it. But you've looked at it in a negative way. And God says, I'm causing all things to work together for your good. Even though it may not feel good right now. Hallelujah. And Paul even had nerve to say, hallelujah, Anthony. He said, these light afflictions. What? Light afflictions? And while you're in the wilderness being crushed, you feel like God ain't there, that he has rejected you while you even in going through the process. These few weeks I've been asking God, are you here? Do you know where I am? What's going on? Throw the whole fast away. I don't even feel like fasting. And I told God, I told y'all Wednesday night, I don't even feel like praying no more. I just want to throw the whole Bible upside the wall. Because it's been attacks after attacks. I can't hear about it. My mind has almost been hot. I'm like, Lord, if you don't keep me, obviously you called me to this fast for a reason. Hallelujah. Because the stuff that I'm dealing with now, I didn't think I was going to be able to withstand it. Hallelujah. But I thank God that you put me on the fast, because this fast has made me like an anchor. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Though the storms keep on raging in my life. Hallelujah. Though the billows may toss and the winds may blow. Hallelujah. I shall not sway because he holds me fast. Saw Dr. Day, hallelujah, clouds in the sky. I know it's all right because Jesus is mine, my soul. That's why David said it was good for me that I was afflicted, hallelujah, because I wouldn't know God in the fellowship of his suffering if I had not gone through. But touch your neighbor and say, if you're going to suffer with him, if you're going to reign with him, touch your neighbor and say, you're going to have to suffer with him. You're going to have to go through a crushing. I can't hear nobody say nothing. And that's where you find God, in the crushing.
I done switched my whole message. I'm supposed to be talking about rejection. But even in the rejection, you can, hallelujah, when you feel like God is rejecting you, he's not rejecting you. He's just, hallelujah, he's getting all that stuff out of you so he can elevate you to the next level. I can't hear nobody say nothing. If you don't be crushed, you can't move up. He's got to purify you until he sees himself in you. I wish you would touch your neighbor and say, hallelujah, I know what you're going through, hallelujah. I know it feels like God ain't there. I know it feels like God has left you high and dry. Hallelujah, but God is right there. Hallelujah, he's going to keep purifying you until he sees himself in you. Because you got to, hallelujah, you've got to come out as pure gold. So when you reject process, you're rejecting his knowledge of who he is to you. Touch your neighbor and say, don't reject process. I know all the hell that you're going through now is just a process for promotion. I can't hear nobody. Touch your neighbor and say, the hell that you're dealing with now, the rejection that you're dealing with now, if you let God purify you in it, hallelujah, he will promote you to the next level. I can't hear nobody. No process, no promotion. But touch your neighbor and say, if you want promotion, then you got to be processed. Slip those hands. Come on, slip those hands. Betabanda kashe, ruby andolo boho sheta na dabakasa tataya. Vebetonda la labakasa. Come on, 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 come on. Slip those hands up. Betatamondo kushibataya and worship him. Come on, open your mouth and worship him. And ebesitata na tata dabaha. Some of you are almost to the point of throwing in the towel because you felt like God has rejected you and left you high and dry. But may I submit to you that this is a part of the process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you. Even though you feel like he's left you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never forsake you. Even though you feel like he's not there. He said, I'll be with you always. Even until the end of the age. I can't hear nobody say nothing. But I want to submit to you that the devil, hallelujah, what the devil has done to you, he had to get permission from God. Hallelujah. I can't hear nobody say nothing. What the devil is doing to you, he has to get permission from God. To be able to do it. I can't hear nobody. But God, I'm going to tell you that God employs Satan to afflict us. I can't hear nobody say nothing. But it's also to promote us to our next dimension in him. Who am I talking to in here? Who am I talking to in here? Who am I talking to in here?
It's a part of the process. Satan had to get permission from God to afflict Job. Did you hear what I said? Satan had to get permission from God to afflict Job. So these afflictions that you're dealing with even now, God allowed it because he wants you purified. And he purifies us through affliction. Even dumb stuff that we cause upon ourselves, God still uses it for our good.
So that sickness in your body, hallelujah, hallelujah, the devil caused it, hallelujah, but God still is going to get glory from it, hallelujah. I didn't say God caused it, I said the devil did it, hallelujah, even through our own ignorance, hallelujah, but God will still use that, hallelujah, to purify us and to bring us to closer relationship with him. It's all crazy how God uses bad things that happens in our lives, even from our own bad thinking. He still uses it for our good. I was telling the preachers last night, I said, and I've said this so many times, when you make a cake, all the separate ingredients, if you eat it by itself, it's nasty. Raw eggs by itself is nasty. Flour by itself, baking powder by itself is nasty. But somehow those nasty ingredients produce a nice lemon pound cake. I can't hear nobody say nothing. A German chocolate cake. All of those nasty ingredients, I can't hear nobody. That produces a wonderful sweet cake. I can't hear nobody. So God can get the sweetness out of your life, hallelujah. He's got to mix those nasty ingredients, hallelujah. All your failures, all your mistakes, everything that you've done, hallelujah. God mixes all of that together and produces the sweetness out of you. And then he showcases you before the world. All right, I thought I was supposed to be talking about rejection. So, Romans 1:28, they did not even retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Romans 1:28, we can discern that as a result of divine rejection, Saul was given over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate, you want to write this down, means worthless. Morally corrupt. It means what?
Worthless.
And morally
corrupt.
It speaks of a person whose mindset, rationalizations, and thinking processes have been rejected by God. We will find a whole kingdom, and I'm teaching from this book, Overcoming Rejection. I'm teaching. I got three books I'm going back and forth from, all dealing with rejection. He says, we'll find a whole kingdom of demons in Romans 1:29 through 31 that characterizes a reprobate mind. Here we go. Unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. I want you to know that it's hard to believe that individuals who once walked with God can come to a place where demons can take over and wreak havoc in their lives. But if you reject God, there are people that have been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and have walked away from God and the church and have rejected what they once knew. Now their minds have been turned to reprobate. But I want you to understand that this is a place that anybody in this church can go to. We can decide at any moment to opt out of salvation and decide to go back to a world of hell full of the devil. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Touch your neighbor and say, you can opt out of salvation. You can opt out and say, I don't want anything else to do with salvation. I'm done with God because it's too hard. But let me tell you, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, you can't live any way you want to and think that God will accept you. Somehow we've taken the fact that God is love to mean that God has no standard for his people. Of course, you can come to him as you are, but the way that you experience his fullness is by coming to him humbly and submitted, expecting to exchange your ways for his ways. Did you hear what I say? There's an exchange from your ways to his ways. I wish I had some help in here. Help me say that with me. Help me say, there's an exchange from my ways to his ways. And some of you still got your ways. I can hear nobody. And God has been pursuing you. I can hear nobody. But you're too comfortable with your ways because it's hallelujah, because you've been your way so long. Hallelujah. You don't know how it feels to be another way. So then the Holy Spirit begins the work of delivering us and setting us free, transforming us into his likeness. People think that God just accepts everything and everybody. Now, let me say that again. People think that God accepts everything and everybody. They think you can do anything and God will still accept you. Basically, they are believing that he will accept unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, homosexual activities, pornography, pedophilia. I can't hear nobody say nothing. So you think that I can continue, as the people in Galatians, Paul was talking about, he said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So you can say God is so merciful and loving, so I'm going to keep on sinning because he's going to continue to pour out his grace and mercy on us. And Paul said, God forbid. No. We don't practice sin as saints. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Touch your neighbor and say, we don't practice sin as saints. We may commit a sin, but we don't continuously practice sin. I can't hear nobody say, y'all ain't saying nothing right. To touch a neighbor and say, we may commit a sin, but we don't practice sin. Saints practice righteousness. And there's a process of sanctification. They don't talk about that no more. Sanctification. You got to be purified from your ways. I can't even while I'm on this fast, and I have not, let me tell y'all, I have by no means arrived. God is constantly showing me, showing me the areas where I have closed him off in my soul, hallelujah, because it's comfortable for me to stay like that. But if you pursue any type of relationship with God, let me tell you something. God is going to come for you. Touch your neighbor and say, God's going to come for you. If you keep pursuing a relationship with him and Holy Ghost, I can't hear about it. God will come for you. So God, he will not, cannot accept disobedience. He can't do it. So we can be so mushy-gushy with the love of God that we never feel that any behavior should be condemned or dealt with. Oh, he's so loving. God is love. God loves everybody. Just come as you are and stay as you are, because he's going to pour out his grace and mercy because he loves you so much. We're up under grace and you can live any kind of way and still go to heaven. If that's the case, why did I come out of homosexuality? I should have just stayed a homosexual and still come and lift my hands and sing and praises unto the Lord and still sleep with a man as soon as I get off this pulpit. Got no help in here. Why y'all ain't saying nothing? I should have stayed the way that I was if it's okay for me to live that way and still go to heaven. Because this was a lot of work. Sister Carolyn.
it was a lot of work renewing my mind from that old lifestyle. I can't hear about it. So you telling me that y'all can still come into church and do what you want to do, and I done went through all this hell and process and purification to be changed. I can't hear about it. And y'all can still do what you want to do and go to heaven too. So just throw the whole Bible away. Throw all the churches in the trash. Touch your neighbor and say, throw the whole Bible away. If you can still do what you want to do and go to heaven, and I have done all this work through the process of the Holy Ghost sanctifying me, stripping off old man, stripping off all this stuff, and y'all can go to heaven too and still do what you want to do. Something wrong with that picture. Preachers still living any kind of way, preaching the gospel, shouting folks, setting folks free, and still going to be a castaway at the end of the day. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I put in too much work to go back. Can anybody testify with me that I've come too far? I've fasted too much. I've read my Bible too much. To release my hand from the plow. I can't hear nobody saying that. I can't go back, because as soon as I even think about going back, that conviction of the Holy Spirit says, what you doing? I can't hear nobody saying that. Y'all can play and play with God, play footsies with the devil all you can, all you want to. But I'm telling you, Tavares G. Gardner ain't got time to play footsies with the devil, because I ain't going to hell for nobody. Now, I'm not going to be getting up to them pearly gates, Jamie, and say, and they can't find my name.
Thank you for joining our podcast today. If you would like more information about our ministry, or if you would like to sow a seed, visit us at www.twfcdallas.org.